I would like you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. We're going to continue on discussion we've had weeks ago, months ago, and we talked about seven basic areas of spiritual growth. Seven basic areas to grow. These are areas that we need to grow up in area. And so we're talking about spiritual growth, and we're going to talk about the seventh one. And so I'll just kind of rehash a few things, and then you can decide where you fit in the scheme of things. If you're, you can relate. I believe we'll all relate to this, and so this is going to be the seventh one. So if you've missed some of them, you can always go back to it. I haven't really covered them all, but I felt this was important to us this morning. So anyway, it says here, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. What a way to talk to a Christian. I mean, shouldn't we automatically have all those things together? No. Well, Peter is talking to Christians, talking to the church, and we should have this, have a good handle on it. But the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, needed to tell the people that, they need to take care of some things in their lives. And so we need to take care of things. So we need to be reminded about our behavior, our lifestyle. And so he said, you must crave the spiritual milk so that you can grow into full experience of salvation. I believe when we begin to develop and grow, that we'll experience salvation to the fullest. We can experience the goodness of God. I think sometimes we're not living up to our potential. And I want to mention, spiritual growth is a lot like physical growth. Let me just put it this way. You can go to the gym and work out and be in top shape, but if you go away from it for a long time, you don't remain in the same condition you were when you quit several years ago. How many people remember that, right? If you're a jogger, I remember if you take jogging and you're a jogger and you stop, you don't always continue in the same space. And so spiritual growth is the same thing. If you let things slip in your life spiritually, you don't remain the same, right? You'll slip back into your old behavior, old thinking patterns. And it's good to come to church together and work together, because this is where you realize you need to sharpen up. Because when you work with people, people get in your way, get in your space, they bug you and different things. And so we have to sharpen up our attitude and different things. How many people relate to what I'm talking about? Amen. So we do need spiritual growth. So many Christians fail to grow up in their spirituality to their full potential, as this scripture tells us. So instead of struggling with our carnality and our sensuality and becoming worldly-minded or worldly in our ways, we need to resemble Jesus more than we resemble the world in the way we think and feel about things. In fact, some people, if you put them up beside a Christian, put them up beside an unbeliever, you wouldn't tell them apart. You would never think they're a Christian. Because sometimes we are like chameleons. We become like who we hang around with, right? And you have to watch that, because that can happen to all of us, no matter who we are. This is not a condemnation of anyone, but we're all in the same boat. And so it doesn't matter who we are. And I always tell people, if I hang around with people who drink, it wouldn't be long before I got a beer in my hand. It wouldn't be long before I'm smoking a cigarette and telling those jokes again. And so it doesn't take very long. So we have to be reminded continually to address ourselves and people, our brothers and sisters around us, help us with that, positive peer pressure to keep in line. So here are seven. We want to look at seven things that we need to grow up in, and so that we can address that ourselves. God wants all of us to grow. So Ephesians 4:15 says in here that instead we will speak the truth in love and growing up in every way more and more like Christ. So God wants us to grow up to be like Jesus, to resemble Jesus. Spiritual development should be the aim of every believer, that we should live our lives not dominated by our natural self, our outward man. You know, our outward man is not born again, neither is your mind born again. Your spirit is born again, but your mind is still struggling. How many people know that you have to take care of your mind and begin to harness it and tell it to think right? Amen? And so maybe on the way here. So spiritual development should be the aim of every believer. And so we should not be dominated by our natural self, which the part is not born again. The only part that is reborn is our spirits. And our souls and our bodies need development. You know, man is made up of three areas. First of all, we're spirit beings. We possess a soul and we live in a physical body. And so our soul and bodies are not saved yet. We need to develop that part. We need to grow in it. And so it's our job together so that we can grow up together in the things of God. So we need to grow up from the childhood stage of babyhood development, as 1 Peter says, and grow up into an adult level of maturity where we can be responsible and be able to be adults and think like adults and be a man. Bob, the Bible says that Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, but when I've grown up now, I put away childish things. That's in terms of the behavior. So Paul, in his letters to the church, his epistles, he mentions that three churches there that needed to grow up. And the churches, I'm talking about local churches, local in our area, individuals in those churches, we all need to grow. All of us need to grow. And anything that grows is vital in living. If something's not growing, then it's really not alive. So we need to grow. We need to grow up. We need to be vital people. So here's what Paul said, all of us individually need to grow. I'm talking about our own pastor, myself. I need to grow up. There's things that I need to develop in continually. My staff and our people that work with me, we need to grow continually. We see how far we fall short with people. We fail with people at times. We fail with each other. And so that doesn't mean it's the end of the world, right? And so we see flaws in each other, but we're reminded that we're human people, but we carry an anointing that's supernatural. Like when I'm here right now, my wife sees me, I'm her husband, but I'm standing in the office right now. I'm standing in the office of a pastor, so she relates to me as pastor, not her husband. It's after the anointing leaves, she can say, take out the garbage. So there's a different thing here, right? So pastors, the leadership, help staff, what we call the volunteers, the ministry helps here, we all need to grow up. And so that's why we have ministry helps training, monthly training, and we have, we're trying to build more of a reservoir of a place where we can just have growth spurts with each other and different groups. So we need to stay sharp so that we don't fall short. Here's what the Apostle Paul said, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. I'm reading the classical Amplified Bible. He says, physical training is of some value. We could use some physical training. We can go to the gym and take classes. People say, well, I took classes. That was 1964. Well, you need to go back to those classes. So, but godliness, you know, that's living for God. That's what it means, godliness, living for God. Or spiritual training is useful in a value of everything in every way. Looking after spirituality, it makes benefit in your natural life here and also in the life to come when you leave here. The only thing that goes with you is your good works. They go to heaven with you. And so that's the only thing you will leave this earth, the Bible talks about. So, it says it holds the promise of this present life and also of the life which is to come. Praise God. I just want to remind you, are you guys doing okay this morning? Okay, you need to stay with me because I can just sense some of you are going away. Okay. So I know you get in deep thought and thank God because you're relating to it. And every once in a while I'm going to remind you that I need some coaching too. I need some energy and I need some amens every once in a while. Okay, can you do that? Okay, praise God. Amen. I'm only as good as you were. Okay, so remember that because don't fall asleep on me. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul is talking to the church there at Ephesus, And he tells them they need to grow up. Let's look at that. I'm just looking at three examples here, and then we go into our other lesson. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Verse 14. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing up in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, his church. So the body needs to look like the head. God wants us to grow up, not to be immature, blown around with everything, upset about different things, being deceived, not being discerning, having our clean up our speech and our love with walk with people needs to resemble Jesus. So then there's another church. This is that's church at Ephesus, church at Ephesus there. And the church at Jerusalem, or the Jewish church, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, notice here that he also taught by the Spirit of God that these people weren't growing up either. So that goes through every church, every person. We're all included in this. We all need sharpening up. Amen? It says, you have been believers for so long. Have you ever told yourself that? Oh, man, I've been so long, and I haven't even grown up yet. Right? You feel like a teenager in the Lord. He says, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teaching other people. Instead, you need to teach others again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk. Pablum. Huh? I cannot eat solid food. So you got to develop some teeth. Verse 2, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Verse 15, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize difference between right and wrong. So mature people who have spiritual teeth, they can chew on the spiritual food and not get choked to death. You know, some people, if they get choked to death on the word, they can't process it. They can't chew it up, and they're not strong enough, right? So you need to get it into your whole system. So they need the basics. They shouldn't. Need to be ahead spiritually. People, maybe that you can relate this with, or even yourself. In fact, this could be exactly you this morning. So take some solid food. And if you need to take milk, take the milk. And understand that, because sometimes in some areas we might be on milk. Paul spoke about this. So so we're still babies if we're on this spiritual diet, low. But it says in there, you have been Christian for so long, but you still need the baby diet. So you need something more than what you've been getting. So we're going to give you some strong food. Okay, number three, this is the third church that Paul talks about, that the church that, by the Spirit of God, that they weren't growing up where they should be. Like sometimes we like to think that we're all growing up now. I'm a big boy now. And then somebody comes along, pulls the rug out behind us, and then we find out we're not as grown up as we thought we were. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Those Christians were still babies who needed to know how to discipline their nature, their own nature. They're gifted spiritually, but how many people know being gifted spiritually doesn't mean you're mature? You could have a calling, a spiritual calling. You could be a pastor. You could be a leader in the church and still be a baby, right? And you can regress as well. Go back to your baby stage. And so that's why we need constant. You need to have a constant diet, constantly be reminded, not just to somebody, hitting you over the head, but just to help you out, right? We all need mentorship. So those people had gifts, but they lacked wisdom. He says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, New Living. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, or even though you were infants, as though you were infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with food, solid food, because you weren't ready to do anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you're still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another, quarreling with one another. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? So this is talking about Paul is comparing a spiritual Christian, a tongue talker, in fact. These guys had gifts. And they were, you know, they were acting still like the world. They were resembling the people who were not even like they're Christians. You know, don't misunderstand me. We've all been there. Don't be condemned about it. Just take it as God's talking to me. I'm not thinking about anybody in particular, although I could. Okay, so because we all can regress. I regress. And I have to take care of myself. And thank God we had a good meeting with our pastor on Friday. And he's always checking up on us and sending us mail. And thank God for that. And so, you know, we need to check up on our own selves. And that's why it's good to have good companionship and people around you who can look after you. We all need friendship. We all need good friends who tell us. So he tells us that we can go into hibernation spiritually and don't even look like a Christian. You go into disguise and you become like that chameleon, be like the rest of the people, and they won't even know you're even a Christian. And so we want to come out of our shell. So we're born again, but we still resemble the world. We talk like the world, smell like the world, act like the world, and so on. So there's no distinction, no difference. And people can really see that in our lives. And so God wants us to resemble more like him. Amen? He wants us to be a little bit more spiritual, not over the top where we're so way up here that people can't relate to us. You're always having a vision. All right, or you're always hearing God, you know. Listen, I saw three devils on my way here this morning. You know, like that's way over the top. You meet people like that sometimes. Hey, you're weird. Get out of here. Okay, so they act like the world. They're unregenerate. So here are three. Just to think about this. Here are just three distinctions that mark a spiritually mature person. If you want to know a spiritually mature person, this is a great teaching itself. But let me just give you this. First of all, a mature Christian knows their identity. Spiritually, they know who they are. They know they belong to God. They know that God is their Father. You know, they recognize their rights and privileges as a child of God. They know they can take authority, and they know that they can pray for themselves and God will hear them. They know they can pray for their loved ones and God will hear them. They know they can live right. They know they can how to handle fears and anxieties. They don't fall apart when trials and troubles come upon them. Didn't say, you know, they don't have those. They have them like everybody else. But it's how you live when you're having trouble. It's not the trouble that comes on your life. It's how you go through it when you're going through a trial that marks your maturity. You know, I often talked about, you know, Brother Hagin, I took his example. He said, when I have trouble, I don't even talk to my wife about it sometimes. I talk to God about it, first of all. And sometimes, you know, my wife tells me, don't you have any feelings? I said, I got feelings too. I just learned. I said, I don't hide them. I mean, I just don't always act out my feelings. If I did, you would know pretty much sure. Because when I was, you know, growing spiritually, when I was just in my infancy, I would just fly off the handle. I would just fly off for a week. And that's not good, right? I'd get depressed. I'd do it for a month. I'd do it real good. Don't just get mad for 1 hour. Let's just do it for a whole week and have fun with it. You know, so this is totally opposite side, right? Here's a second distinction about spiritually mature person. They govern their lives by God's word, govern their lives by faith. They walk by faith, or they walk by the word of God and not by sight, or they don't walk by how they feel. They don't walk by what they think about it. They don't ask themselves what I think about it. They ask themselves, what does God's word say about this? Remember those little bracelets that said, what would Jesus do, right? We need to put those back on again. Put it on our neck. And so a mature person, he gets up in the morning like everybody else. He's got troubles. He's sick. His kids are in jail. He's got money problems. He's got girlfriend problems. He's got dog problems. You know, he's got all kinds of problems. But he's going to get up And he's going to smile and treat people nice and don't. He doesn't go around telling people, you know how much trouble I had last night. But he acts like he doesn't even have any problems at all. Acting like the word of God is true. Like we sang this morning. You know? One thing that remains is what it says. One thing I will, what does it go? How does it go like? What? I'll be confident. And I don't know what. Come on, help me out, some of you singers. One thing I will remain. One thing I'll be confident in. I will see the goodness of the Lord. What else does it say? I mean, that was a good song. I'm singing it because I told my wife, this is our song. I got trouble, but I'm not going to tell everybody I got troubles. I tell the Lord, and I let him take it. I cast my care upon him, and I'm going to act like he's actually taking care of it. Instead of wallowing in my self-pity and telling everybody how I feel. Okay, that's a mature Christian. That's me. If you go to the dictionary and say mature Christian, you'll see my picture in there. I'm just kidding. You know I'm kidding, right? Okay, he said, that Roma is arrogant. No, I'm just trying to tease you. Okay, so watch. Let's go here. Something's happened to my... Okay, let's get here. This one thing, it's nice to have an iPad, but when it dies out, you're down the road. Okay, number three, here's a third distinction about a mature person in the Lord. Always, he walks by the love of God. He walks by the law of love. Everything he does, how he relates to people, if he does something, he says, well, how will that affect other people? If I say this, how's that going to affect other people? How's it going to affect my mom? How's it going to affect my brother? How's it going to affect my church if I do this? How's it going to affect, you know, different ones if I pull away and I do this? So it's always like, I'm going to take care of people. I'm going to walk in love. And so this is important for us to recognize because we need to recognize that if you're mature, that's how you're thinking, right? So let me just review about these seven things we talked about. Number one is that here's what you have to grow up in. Number one is learn to forget about the past. That's the good things and the bad things. You can say, oh, man, remember that time? We had a great time. Oh, yeah, you know, let's go back there. And just, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to go back there and have a glass of that special bottle we used to have? Uh-huh. You know, so different things. So you have to learn Philippians chapter 3 over there. It talks about that we have to forget about the past. Leave it behind. Everybody say, leave it behind. And so the second thing we talked about is learn to forgive. If you're going to grow and walk spiritually, you're going to have to learn not only to forget the past and see what all those people did with you or against you, and you're going to have to forgive people. Walk free of the oppression, carrying burdens I'm not forgiving people, and I'm going to, I'll get back to them if I can remember that. So, forgiving people, Mark 11:26 says, when you stand praying, if you're praying the prayer of faith and asking God something, when you stand praying, forgive. What does the word forgive mean? It means to let it go, let loose of it, and don't bother with it. That's what it means to forgive, means to forget it. Just leave it go. And then, that's if you want to grow. Number three is a big one all across my Facebook. Is learn how to pray. That is, pray for yourself. Pray for you on things. Don't get everybody praying for you, going on Facebook and say, oh, yeah, I'll pray for me. No, there are some things you have to pray for yourself. Paul never wrote to Timothy and says, I want you to pray for me that I'll obey God. Pray for me that my needs will be met. Everything's all set. There's only certain things we ask other people to pray for us about. Like, you know, we pray for our nation. There are prayers, what we call intercession prayers, where we have to pray those prayers continually. Okay? And there's only you can pray the prayer of forgiveness for yourself. Only you can pray the prayer of casting your care on the Lord yourself. I can't do it for you. I can come in agreement with you on some things, but it's not my responsibility to carry the prayer. It's you're carrying the prayer. And I'm coming along with you to pray with you. That's a prayer of agreement, right? So in fact, the prayer of agreement is really this. You do the praying, I come along and say amen. That's how it works. And so it's like, they say, can you pray with me? Pray. And they're looking at you that you should pray. No, you pray. You pray, and I'll come along with you. And so that's how it works. So pray, we have to learn how to pray. So a lot of our people, they're asking about prayer all the time. They're making like prayer is the only solution in the whole world. It's not. You can pray all you want, but if you don't know the word, it's not going to work. It won't work. Prayer works on the basis of what you know the word says. Okay? That's how it works. You got to know what the word of God says. And if you already know the word, there's some things you never have to pray about. Like say, for instance, money. You don't ever have to pray for money. You never have to pray for money. I said, you never have to pray for money. There's some things you have to do. Obey God in the area, but you don't have to ever ask God for money. Now, you can claim your money. Say, thank God all my needs are met. I want to thank God he's my shepherd. I will not lack anything. I thank God that God supplies all my need. Paul never prayed. Jesus never prayed. Hey, disciples, pray that our Father will meet our needs. No. God, we need, you know, we pray about some things that are silly that the Bible never tells us to pray about. Say, for instance, we pray for, we pray for a city. There's only a certain authority we have over our city to pray for the city. You know, thank God that we can understand those rules. Okay, learn to pray. Number four is believe. Learn how to believe. Mark 11:24, believe that you receive. Mark 11:24, believe that you receive. I think we were singing a song here earlier. And I know it was the prophetic utterance that the young man gave when he came up here to give an exhortation. He tells us believe, right? So believe is a verb. Believe, when you believe, you're relying on God. You're trusting on God. Right? You're trusting the word is working. So when you believe, you have to ask yourself, am I believing or am I not believing? So when you believe something, you have to, act like it's working. Right? When you're praying, the Bible says the prayer of faith will work like this. You come to God, you have a desire, and you cast your character or your prayer to God, and then you say, thank God I have it, and you start acting like it. Walk away, and then you don't walk away from your prayer and say, oh, man, I hope it works. I'm going to ask all my Facebook friends to pray with me just in case I missed it. No, you better know you didn't miss it. Amen. Now, you can ask people to agree with you, right, and so on. So I thank God that I had a friend close to us and took our book, asked for my book on what do we call it again? Overcoming Faith That Works. So she took the book and read the book. He said, I took that book. I devoured it. I read it in one setting. It's only like 98 pages, but packed with stuff. And he said, I learned so much in that book. I got so blessed by that book about how to use my faith. So I urge you, every one of you, get that book. It's only $12. But today you can buy two for $50. Okay, so get the book and read it. Now, is this doing okay? We only have 10 more minutes to do my lesson, and I haven't gotten there yet. So the fifth one is worship. John 4:24, the Bible says that God is looking for worshipers, not singers. We need singers. He didn't say God looking for guitar players. We love guitar players. We love guitar players. We love keyboard players, drummers. We need a drummer boy for Christmas. We need more musicians and singers. Okay? John 4:24, God is looking for worshipers. A worshiper knows who God is. And they worship God for who he is. Who is God to you? Is he like a, somebody that can just help you out when you're in trouble? Or is he God Almighty? You know, Pastor Ken says that, I don't know what he said, but it sounded good. He said, you know, nothing's impossible with God, right? As long as we have a God, we have hope. Number six is give. We got to learn how to give. Luke 6:34, somebody said that some people are so stingy, they squeak when they walk. Luke 6:38, the Bible says, Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you. In other words, what you give will be returned back to you. But in multiplication, we need to believe that. Right? And the other day, the Lord kept telling me for about 3 weeks, I want you to go take $100 to that person right there. And I just let it go and I'd say, oh man, I'll do it. Yeah, thank you, Lord. But the Lord kept bugging me and I kept forgetting. He said, I know where you put your money. You know, we all have a little stack. When you get older, you have a little stack. You know, we also laugh at our parents. You know, they always have can you give me $100? And they'll go, granny goes and digs on a whole bunch of things and finds, well, here's your money. I know Ed remembers that. He used to ask all his granny. Granny Ed says, granny, give me 25 cents. And then he has to haul water all day. Sun up, sun down. You know why he wants to get that? He wants to be illegal. He wants to buy tobacco. It's funny. Ed, I grew up with Ed. He's like a brother to me. And he used to come and when he went to work, he worked at the sawmill. When his first job was working for a sawmill, his dad told him, Ed, you either go to school, finish high school, or go to work. He said he was going to go to work, so he went to work. So, but his dad gave him a choice, right? But he worked all those years since he was 16 years old until now. He's old and gray now. Look at him. He obeyed his dad. And his dad was huge. Huge dad, and he's after like the fishers, and they're shorter, much more lower to the ground. But the Cree guys are a little taller. Oji Crees are halfway. But anyway, so we're down to our last one, and we got only 8 minutes to finish the lesson, the actual lesson. Number seven is learn to witness. Learn to be a witness. Are you ready? Yeah. Hang on to your chair and say, I'm ready. Okay. Jesus, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, number one, number two in all of Judea, and number three in Samaria, and number four in the uttermost parts of the earth. A lot of people, maybe not you, let's say some people, they want to be a witness only to the uttermost parts of the world where nobody knows them. Or they want to be fashionable because I was on a what do you call these trips when you go far away? Missions trip. It sounds so important. They only made one tent over there. And they did all the touristing and come back. So missions trip, is that really what you want to do? So your mission is right over here in Thunder Bay. I said, your mission is right here. People are sad. Don't get sad. That's the way it's supposed to work. You got to be a witness in your Jerusalem. Okay, So in our walk with God, we need to be attractive to the people around us. Some people act so weird that their friends and relatives stay far away from them because they're Christians. And so they don't want to come to church because you act weird most of the time and talk about things and terminology, Christianese, that people don't understand what you're talking about. So we need to be normal with people and be nice, right? So what did Jesus mean here? Jesus said the Holy Ghost would help us to be witnesses, not necessarily to go out witnessing door to door. I believe he was saying that the Holy Ghost is our helper, that he would assist us to live a powerful lifestyle so wonderfully attractive that other people ask you about it. Now, a dictionary description of the word witness means this: a public affirmation of word or example, usually of religious faith and conviction. A public example, an affirmation of word, and usually of lifestyle. So being a witness is not necessarily, he didn't say go out witnessing door to door. The greatest witness is to be sold out to Jesus, to live a life of love and faith that other people are attracted to it. Our life should be so much of a testimony to other people that they're so attracted to what is happening in your life. Your life is so exciting, right? Our actions speak much more louder than our words. You can go out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus, but if you're not living right, they're not going to listen to you. You don't pay your bills. You're mean to your neighbors. Right? You've killed several dogs in areas. So every one of us needs to be a witness. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, you are epistles, written epistles in our hearts, known and read by all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, King James Version, New King James. In Paul's discussion with Timothy as a pastor, he gave him instructions as to what he ought to teach as a pastor to segments of his local church under his care. People in local church need to continual reminders of the relationship with other people outside the local fellowships. While they may not have an occasion to speak individually with them, but they will watch your example. You may never talk to somebody. Now, I realize, being a television personality, people see me, they think, I'm wonderful. I'm not always wonderful, but hopefully I'm good to my friends and stuff. Yeah. So we kind of like put up a idea. One guy was so disappointed when he saw me at the mall, he says, I thought you were bigger than that. Well, I'm sorry. Oh man, you want to say something? Anyway. So in the following scripture, we see Peter here instructing the church to live right publicly and speaking to husband and wife in their marriage situation. One of them might not be a believer and how they would affect that person who is not a believer. People who get married, down the road, one of them gets born again. One of them doesn't want to get born again. That happens. Or it shouldn't be that you're born again and you marry an unbeliever. That should never happen. It does happen. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. So you say, well, I'm going to marry this person and turn him into a mighty man of God. It doesn't happen. If he's not a mighty man of God now, he never will be, usually. So you have to be the mighty man of God now, guys. And women of God, you should be a Mary Woodward Edder. Who's that? She was a woman of God. That was a testimony. So our godly lifestyle will speak volumes to our unbelieving wife or husband. Usually they'll say, man, your life is so good. I had one man says to me, come and get my wife, bring her to church because she's acting strange now. Bring her back there. Because when she comes to church, she's nice and acts nice until she stops going again. So here's what he says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Beloved,
I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, you know what pilgrims are? Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that's people outside the church, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works which they observe, glorify God on the day of salvation. Here's what the NLT says. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly life will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure, reverent lives. Now, here's something I wanted to mention. I've done so much weddings. I've done weddings with people. I would take weddings with people who were not even saved yet, because hoping that they'll come to Jesus, because I have a program that'll get them to come to Christ in there. So sometimes they pray, and then they say, when we do the vows, I don't want to do the part of submitting to my wife. Let's take that out. Okay. So they take those out. They take all some of these words out, because, listen, men have turned it around to be, you know, a domineering husband and said, you need to submit to me. So that's why we have problems. Because men who become ungodly, they're supposed to be Christians, but they dominate their wives, and so that's not good. So if you love your wife like Jesus loves the church, bled and died for it, your wife will always submit to you. Yeah. So that's how it works. If you love your wife so much, you know, our pastor said there was a Catholic priest was doing this wedding or a priest wedding thing, and they said the priest asked that lady or the man and pointed at the crucifix with Jesus on it, bleeding. He said, are you ready to do this for each other? You know, to die for each other, suffer for each other? If you're not, then you're not ready for marriage. So unbelieving wives and husbands could win them by their actions. So Romans chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, he says, you are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God. This is talking about the Jewish people who had the Old Testament. They had the Pentateuch, the five books of the law of Moses. He said, you're so proud knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. Like, we could remember scriptures, but let the scriptures get into our spirits so that we can it becomes part of us, right? So you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scripture says the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. In other words, people are angry at God because of the way you live. That's what he's saying to those guys. They see if God is real, it'll be real through your life. Yeah, that's how it works. That's exactly how it works. So we need to live clean before the word. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. I realize there's a lot of scripture, guys. Okay? So I told you we're going to learn something. Okay, so no, watch. Younger widows should not be on a list because of their physical desires will overpower their devotion to Christ and they will want to remarry. Then they would be guilty of breaking their previous pledge. There was something going on there. You can talk about that later. And if they're on the list, they will learn to be lazy, spend their time gossiping from house to house, meddling with other people's business, and talking about things they shouldn't. So advise these young widows to marry again and have children and take care of their own homes. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. See how it goes? If you get conviction and the enemy gets on you, say, hey, listen, you say you're a Christian. What kind of Christian are you? And we get that conviction. Sometimes, you know, the devil talks to us like that. And, hey, he might be legitimately right because we haven't been living right. You know? And it's kind of funny. Sometimes we used to get prank calls way before. These prank calls are funny sometimes. If I let you listen to them over the years, you'd find it funny. But I thank God I don't have a home phone anymore. So I come home, listen to my phone, and it's so-and-so, and they're saying things, man, you wouldn't even believe. Okay. First Timothy 6, 1 and 2. All slaves should be should full respect their masters. Now this is talking about employees and employers. Okay? Full respect of their masters, so they will not bring shame on the name of God and his teaching. And masters, if masters are believers, that's no excuse for being disrespectful. Those slaves should work hard, all harder, because the efforts they are helping each other believers who are well loved. Teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. So I'm encouraging you, if you got a good job, be the best employee you can be. People say, yeah, you're a Christian. I remember I used to work in an office, and he said to me, I mean, take this in context. He used to tell me, you're kind of like that Jimmy Swaggart guy, aren't you? That's what they always tease me with that. You know, back in the 80s when I was working, you know, kind of like, he turns to his neighbor, the guy's like, Kenny, he's like, you know, a Jimmy Swaggart kind of guy. Because remember Jimmy Swaggart, the trouble he had, right? So they would tease me at home. So I was being teased. It was an Ojibwe situation. They tease each other. But it was kind of fun, but at the same time, there's some truth in it. They were trying to tease me, entice me. Okay, so Titus chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. I told you we got a lot of scripture. Okay. You just got the cream on the top and you love the cream, but now we're getting some real stuff. Okay. Similar to teach older women. Are there any older women out there? There's none. Okay. Similar to teach older women to live in a way that honors God. In other words, older women, mature women, you need to honor God in the way you live. Okay? They must not slander others. Okay, are you on Facebook? I tease all of them on Facebook because that's where a lot of slandering goes on there. You got to watch that, right? Yeah. Or be heavy drinkers. Why would you tell an older Christian woman, don't be a heavy drinker? Because there's got to be some of them that are heavy drinkers, right? That's where all those phone calls came from to my house. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train younger women to love their husbands and their children. Now, I had one lady that, you know, she was just thinking about, you know, what can I do? And, you know, I'm just no good. I'm old. I said, hey, we got a lot of things for you to do. We got women that you can help. You can train other people and just be a big influence. Just show up and, I mean, you'd have such a crowd of people helping you, you know? So it says, live wisely, verse 5, live wisely and pure and work in their homes, do good and be submissive to their husbands. Oh, that's a bad word. And they will not bring shame on the word of God. So, I mean, you got to take this in context, read it, and understand exactly what he's talking about. You'd be incredibly surprised. In the same way, you younger men. Now, is there any younger men out there? Okay. We're getting to the end here. Live wisely. And you must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Talking to Timothy. Teach the truth so that your teaching cannot be criticized. Then those who oppose you will be ashamed and they'll have nothing to say bad about us. The story of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 to 14, David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, having her husband killed. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14, the Amplified Classical, we get a glimpse of what was going on. He says, nevertheless, because of this deed, you have utterly scorned the Lord and given great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child that you will, the born to you will die. So the child actually died. And sometimes when this happens, it just gives the enemy an excuse to attack the church or attack you or your family or your Christian life. David was king and was corrected by the prophet of God about his sin of adultery and murder. Just because we can do certain things doesn't mean we can do it and it's right. David as a king could make decisions that affect many people. In our personal lives, we affect many, many people. And as well, our lives are a witness for Christ. Our lives are an open book to the world. People who are familiar with us will use us as a measuring tool, our lifestyle, for living right as a Christian, whether it's a good thing or not. The Apostle Paul said to younger Timothy, and you're never too young to be an example for others to follow. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, New Living. The psalmist says, my life is an example to many. Psalm 71, verse 7. Jesus said in John 13, 15, concerning his love, he said, I've given you an example for you to follow. Jesus said, by our love, they will know us by our loves. What will your life say? Living through the obedience of God's word, give people an opportunity for God, for them to come to God because we live right. And our witness is a testimony to people that God is good. And living for God is a benefit in this life and the life to come. Let's all stand up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being so attentive. You were such good people participating, and I felt that you were supporting me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Let's go ahead and pray as we close together. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you this morning, for you are so good, and your mercy endures forever. And so we thank you. What an opportunity for us to turn things around and grow. We thank you that you're always forgiving, and no matter what's happened in our life, that you don't remember our sin. When we come to you, you wash it clean. You said it doesn't exist anymore. And yet we have to pick up from there and learn to walk by faith and not by sight. I thank you, Lord God, that we're people of love and we forget the past, and we surely will forgive our people who are offended us. We let them go, and we pray for them. We also pray for ourselves, but we pray for them too. We pray for their benefit, that they'll be blessed. We thank you, and we believe the best of everyone. We believe that they can change. We believe that people can come out of incredible situations because you're such a good God, and you're merciful and kind, and you're always ready to help us out. You never condemn us. You don't kick us down when we're down and treat us like dirt, but you love us with such kindness and love. And so, Father, we're here to give you our lives again. Father, what I have belongs to you. This is a covenant. What you have is mine, and what I have is yours. We have a lovely thing going. And let our light shine before men so that life becomes so attractive they want to say, I want to be a Christian. I want to know Jesus too. Thank you this day for this opportunity to share your word. What a privilege and honor to share your word with these people and the people around the world. And as this program goes across Canada and throughout our city, may each one be blessed. We pray for the anointing of God that breaks down any barrier in the lives of people, that they want to serve God, they want to walk with God. And if you're in this audience this morning, you have not turned your life over to Jesus, this is an opportunity for you to say, I want to come to Jesus. I want to live for Christ. I want to have peace with God. I want to have peace about my future. If that's you today, you can come to Jesus right now. If you're looking in your heart and say, I don't have peace with God. If I would die today, I don't know if I would make heaven my home. If you're in the audience or online, if that's you, you can come to God. And if you've been away from Jesus, been away from God, you can come to God right now and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I'm going to walk with you again. Is there somebody in this audience right now? With every eye closed, quickly, please. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Is there somebody in this room say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I want to come to God. I want to make 100% sure that I'm born again. Is that you right now? Lift up your hand way up high so I can see you. Lift your hand way up high. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Say, I want to get born again. I need to be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say this prayer together for that one person who lifted their hand up. Said, Dear God in heaven, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ. I repent of my ways because I recognize that I'm not living right. I turn to you with all my heart. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Wash me clean. I turn to you with all my heart, and I'll follow you the rest of my days. I will do my best to go to church, read my Bible, and pray, and seek fellowship, and find help that I need. By Holy Spirit, I will do this. I'll be strong. I'll be a great witness for Jesus. Thank you for the gifts that you've given me. I'll use them wisely to serve you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone right now has, your stomach has been healed right now. I see that. Your stomach has been healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. You say, how do you know that? I see it. Thank you, Jesus, for healing that stomach, whatever it is. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Somebody is saying, what about tomorrow? The Bible says, and the Spirit of God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You have one day, one opportunity. You live one day at a time. God will take care of your future. If you just step up and say, God, I'm living here, living for you today, right now, one day at a time. Don't let the burdens of tomorrow ruin your good day today. Hallelujah. Somebody has just been released right now of the pressure of anxiety. In the name of Jesus, be free of distress. Be free and sense the lightness of God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lift that hand up and say, thank God I'm alive. Hallelujah. Let's go.